Hey guys, all the way from the mean street of Frankfurt Ave, welcome to our softball podcast, where we don't really have a name yet, but I'm sure we'll find a good one in the coming weeks. My name's Matthew Buckvetsky. I'm joined here by my partner Alex Klegger.
Hey there, softball universe, and boy do we have a show for you today. Packed full of information, strategy, and breakdowns of players, plays, past games, present games. We're going to touch them all, and we're really happy that you're listening. Maybe.
Okay, so welcome to our first segment. It's called Touch 'Em All. It's where we take a quick glance at last week's game, which was won by the Cougars, 5-3 over the Douchers, in what was really an exciting game. Klegger, what did you notice out of that game?
You know, I'm not surprised how close it was, because I really felt like both sides really gave it their all. But by far, we both agree on the breakout star.
Yeah, Sam Hermann. I mean, he was outstanding both offensively
and defensively.
Yeah, you know,
pitching was great.
Pitching, did it with his glove, did it with his bat, certainly with his arm. You know, everything was great. Who else do you think really helped the Cougars on their way to the victory?
I'd say it was really just an all for one effort. Really, like Sam hitting two home runs offensively was all they needed, but their defense did hold up quite nicely. I'd say Matt Kay, surprisingly at first, really not making any errors, being a big man, catching everything coming towards him.
Made one error, but you know, you have to say he was pretty solid overall. Now, as an opponent, I mean, you were on the Douchers. What do you think is so difficult about facing Sam Hermann when he's sober?
Was he sober? Are you sure about that?
He was about as close to sober as we could get.
Yeah. Maybe that's a secret there.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, you're running grit down. Sam's going to make his pitches if he gets behind, and you just really don't want to do too much with it. But maybe that's more my mentality taking on Sam. I don't know. He's going to change up speeds a little bit. Did you notice anything sitting down there?
I didn't notice too much. I mean, I did notice that really if you can, he's going to throw strikes. So you knew that you could at least get one good pitch to hit. The problem was picking that one out, and I think he's got, you know, he even though he doesn't throw submarine to everyone, he's still got that sort of sidearm motion that I think might be maybe a little scary to the less experienced
I think
guys.
That sidearm motion's bullshit. He's not accurate with it. It's kind of a douchey move.
He does tend to hit more people that way, but he didn't hit anyone in this last game.
Did he hit any females? Because he has
have a history.
That was pre-stats, but definitely that would be a fun fact otherwise.
Yeah.
All right, for our second segment of the week, it's my favorite one, which is dealing with sabermetrics. It's the Sabermetrics Symposium, where we break down a little statistical thing, see if we can add a little bit of insight, maybe do some education along the way. So our topic this week is, what's wrong with the Douchers? So what kind of a losing streak are the Douchers on?
Well, I mean, we don't have statistics dating back, you know, past the past three games, but we do know that the Douchers have lost all three of those games. They've also been the...
Really? 0-3?
0-3.
This is next level insight already.
Yeah, I mean, it's 0-3. You got to notice that their pitching just hasn't been there in clutch spots. You know, they haven't been able to get out of the jams the Cougars have. Also, you know, do you think that maybe, I mean, this isn't something that necessarily goes into stats, but do you think that the Cougars have an advantage batting first, maybe getting that momentum early?
Huh. I don't know. See, as a Doucher myself, in the past, I've been on the Douchers. I enjoy the walk-off feeling, you know, the going out there and getting it, but I guess the Cougars hitting it first, and maybe, you know, the energy level's a little bit higher there, maybe that is something to be looked at.
Yeah, another thing to be looked at, I really feel that it's the pitching, and I don't want to single one man out here, but Brian Tierney has been the losing pitcher 2 out of 3 times and was maybe responsible for the third loss, so... You know, you just kind of wonder.
Doucher fans love him, though.
Doucher fans love him, and there's what's not to love about a guy that comes with cleats.
He's a real douchey douche.
He's a real douchey douche. He's douche to the core. But you just gotta wonder. You know, maybe the next captain of the Douchers maybe wants to go in another direction. Maybe just try out another arm. I mean, you gotta love the fact that Brian Tierney, he's throwing strikes. You know, that's something you like. You know, you don't want to see that taken out of the game.
Real quickly, let's do three quick keys that we can do to improve the Douchers for next game. I'd say first, you know, pitching performance is good, but errors are important too. So it's just two defense, and then finally offense. They just gotta string together the hits, and maybe hit Sam early if he pitches again.
Yeah, definitely. All right, welcome to our next segment. It's called Umps Grunts, and this is where we're going to go over some, you know, topics of interest as far as rules of the game go. One of the interesting things from our last game is that due to less numbers, which we both agree was made for a good game, we didn't have the traditional four outfielders that we've been using for much of the season. Instead, went to so three. What do you think happened?
Well, the four outfielders were really pioneered last season primarily as a way of really getting everybody involved and sort of, you know, playing to the style of play that we have. I think the four outfielders creates a unique defensive conundrum in terms of center field being wide open.
Yeah, I think I agree with that, but I also think that hasn't been a lot of balls hit to the outfield, which makes me think that you have four outfielders out there, and maybe all of them are kind of bored. I mean, we saw in this last game, you know, maybe a ball getting by an outfield in which they weren't.
I think there was some. There's definitely some more falling asleep with only three outfielders. Four outfielders is kind of a party. That's the saying, right? I mean,
and you know, you tend to leave a gap in center field, but there's not many guys who have power to dead center field. Mm. You know. We got some guys that will hit it to right, guys who will hit it to left. I mean, Clay, you're a guy who likes to pull the ball. Have you seen yourself trying to hit it down the middle when you get that gap in center field?
Yeah, you know, that's just like a golden space right there. I'm always trying to do it, but yeah, it never really seems to drop there for me.
I mean, it's tough to do. I mean, even in slow pitch, it's still tough to aim your batting. So I think four is great, but you know, this sort of leads into my next subject, which is the baseball versus the softball. Now, Clegg, you weren't there for last week for the baseball.
I missed it, yes. Hardball. I was in Los Angeles scouting the Dodgers.
You know, maybe our next opponents.
Maybe I'll get traded to them.
Who knows? I mean, they're picking everyone else from Philadelphia off the waivers. All right, but, you know, the baseball really brought an interesting part to the game in that the power numbers went up. Those outfielders, those four outfielders were really brought into the game, which is something I enjoyed seeing.
And with the increased power numbers, I assume strikeouts went up too?
Strikeouts went way up. I mean, that's the problem. But at the same time, I think we saw some increased production from the bottom part of the lineup.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it really energized the fan base because I've been hearing some serious chatter. This is like above the rumor that there's going to be a weekly hardball game starting soon. So evidently, it really made a big impact.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? I mean, I know you haven't played with the baseball, but would you be intrigued in trying that in our weekly softball, maybe just one time or?
Hey, you know, it's great to just spitball, throw it around. You know, it's like people love blockbusters, and I think hardball brings off that summer movie mentality. A lot of big hits, great, you know, fireworks essentially.
Are you worried that pitchers might throw the ball a little too hard now that they can really get their hand
around
it?
That's definitely something that needs to be talked about and really figured out, especially. The major problem here is that we play on essentially a softball field, so how are they going to work that into consideration?
Right, and, you know, there's definitely some safety concerns brought up by, you know, the pitcher, we had a close call with Sam Herman's face in this last game.
Yeah, not that a softball is especially soft.
Right. But it will, the ball will go slower.
The diffusion.
Right. Well, this sort of leads us into our next topic, which is about the catcher. Something that's been talked about a lot, you know, having a guy, maybe not necessarily behind the plate, but someone available. You know, there's been a couple times where a player at second base has scored because no one's covered home.
Yeah, because it's just not a scoring play necessarily, but that's just the way it unfolds, and it's a very difficult situation to, you know, figure out who's in the right. And it's definitely way too dangerous to have a catcher back there. I'm never comfortable with that. But a catcher is important because, let's face it, we're electric out there. We can score any opportunity, although there's no stealing or leads.
Absolutely true. But, you know, even when we've had a catcher, you know, someone standing right next to the cage, sometimes they've even fall asleep,
you know. Yeah. Oh, I was the catcher?
Yeah.
Oh, I would have got it anyway, so count it out.
I don't think this year we've had any issues. You know, maybe back in the days of Gabe Yaski, there were some earlier ones. But
for sure. But I don't know. I specifically remember, I think it might have been game three or four of this series this year, that Pat Higgins, first baseman, threw to the batting cage and was definitely beat the runner there, but there was no catcher there. And I don't know how to deal with that because we ended up scoring it as a run. But I got to feel bad for Pat in that situation.
Would you like to see a catcher permanently positioned in the ready position to go behind and catch the ball, or do you really think that's up to the pitcher to go and cover it when there's a runner at second when he really should beat him home.
So, yeah, figuring... I mean, that is... That's a great point that you bring up, Matt, is the fact that the pitcher really ideally should be covering home. Which is what I would stick by.
Okay, I agree with you there. You know, I'd like to argue with it, but I feel like it's easier when you're on the field to be paying attention, and we really just have to get the pitchers to recognize that cover home. You know, I think, you know, that would really solve most of the issues.
Maybe it's okay that nobody covers home. I mean, we don't want another Buster Posey situation on our hand. We already have enough torn ACLs.
Yo.
Hey there, are you guys still awake? Have we put you to sleep yet? Because if you are sleeping, you gotta wake up, wake the kids up for this segment. This is our caught looking segment. This is a little goofy, a little bit fun, a little wild cardy where we just discuss baseball, softball, minutia. Up this week, Sam's composite bat. What is it?
I mean, I've been playing this game for about 6 years, and we've gone through 50, you know, something.
Tinder.
Yeah,
kindling.
I mean, we've been doing firewood for years now, and the only bat that survived the test of time, even I think softball, the aluminum ones have been dented and been retired before this composite bat. I don't know what it is. What do you think it is?
What is it made out of? I don't know. It's like, I think it's there's some wood involved. Do you think that's wood or like
it looks
artificial?
Like such a natural grain that it's either wood or
acrylic, like enamel?
Maybe it's painted on. I don't know.
But can we find this material? Can we start making houses out of this material?
I mean, I just did a quick glance right before we started.
Can I get my car made out of this material?
I mean, it would certainly you can make the paneling maybe out
because
of it.
This bat was not bought for softball purposes. This bat is from Sam's childhood, and Sam is getting up there in age. He's what, is 26 this year?
I think he's just 25.
35?
Yeah, 30.
Well, whatever. Right, birthday's
still
coming
got
up.
13 years left on
September.
His contract, so. Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, most of the success I've ever had in the softball league has been with that bat. I like it because it's a very even weight, you know, that it's not top heavy like let's say Pat's bat, the black and white one.
Jury's out on Pat's bat. Some people like it. I think it's a little bit more balanced and you're making out speed, but it does tire my hands out. Sam's bat really helps you out. It's got a nice, big, fat, sweet spot.
Yeah, it also doesn't have as much reverberation when you get jammed or it hits out at the end of the bat. You don't really... It's not going to kill your hands.
Do you think it might be corked?
Maybe it is cork. Who knows? You know, there's probably some fiberglass, which is something you had mentioned earlier.
I think fiberglass might play a role.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just sort of...
Is that menthol? Is fiberglass and menthol the same thing? I think it is. I think that fiberglass and menthol is like the same
thing. How much damage to the ozone would we do if we let that thing up?
I don't know. Yeah, but next time you get your knee x-rayed or CAT scan, can you take the bat with you, see what's inside that baby?
Oh, yeah. Maybe I'll ask to have it, you know, replace my date. Maybe it's a little bit more solid, a little bit more durable.
Ooh. Well, you'll have to give us an update on that whenever that happens. Okay, this is our final segment, the on-deck part of our show, where we really give a preview as to what's going on next week and really just try to keep you guys in the loop. So first we have the stock market segment of the on-deck, which is who stocks up, who stocks down. First up, Sean Cricket Joe Carr. I'm buying. I think his stock's way up.
I'm selling.
You a little shaky because of last week? I mean, why?
I mean, absolutely. I think
he's shown some really good stuff out there.
He's shown some good stuff. I definitely can't argue with his bat on most nights, but this past week he went 0-for-3. He didn't show the type of composure I was hoping to see from him.
He did get a little bit unraveled, but I don't know. I think that's all part of the making of a superstar.
He didn't talk a lot of shit. Do you think that maybe had something to do with
it? Shit-talking?
His shit-talking was down, and that's part of the reason I'm selling. I want him out there hassling that other pitcher. He spent most of his time talking to his girlfriend or whatever, and... You know, I don't...
You think that girlfriend was a distraction?
I think it was. It was their anniversary. Both of them went 0-for-3. Are you telling me that's a coincidence?
I think it is a coincidence. You know, I guess
I'm not really proving my point with
the thing. Sean's a student of the game. You know, he's figuring out stuff every week. He found out what a fielder's choice was this week, and now he's going to be avoiding
that.
That's
why he's an 0-for-3. I mean, I guess, you know, that is sort of, you know, you have to, as a manager, place him correctly.
Definitely. I don't know. I think you can draft him for good value still.
But I mean, I think I said this maybe to you earlier, but I don't know if he's getting above my fifth pick in the draft. I don't know if he is. He's not good.
I think you got to drop him way higher than that. Fifth pick is I think that's
a bad idea. I think you're going to draft for way better value, even if you get him higher than that.
I think he's defensively a liability. I mean,
he needs to work on some stuff, but maybe he just hasn't found his natural position yet.
Yeah, but he sort of enjoys the outfield.
Carlos Ruiz-esque kind of guy.
Maybe, but you can't put him behind the plate because we don't do that. But I also, you know, he didn't hit any balls in the air last week, which was a little disappointing.
Maybe it's just an aberration. I don't know. You just got to pick his matchups.
Yeah, you know, I just, as a guy who's pitched against him, he's usually pretty tough to pitch to, and I didn't see what I usually saw from him. And I'm selling right now.
So I'm buying. You're selling. Right, fine. Moving on. Next up, Erica Gallagher.
Right.
Just came back from some sort of mysterious injury, beach-related, I think. Ankle? What was it? Ankle?
She had her ankle wrapped up. It might have been a foot problem, maybe.
I don't know.
Either way, it's probably affecting her speed, which was maybe a question mark to begin with.
Definitely some seconds off of her 40 time.
Right. As a guy who used to draft her, you know, she was almost on my team every time last year. I love the way she can hit it down the third baseline because she's a lefty and
she's a lefty, not to be overlooked.
Naturally a slap hitter, you know, not that fast, but she could usually place the ball so well.
I'm selling.
You're selling. I
just don't think I can build a team around her.
I think unfortunately, I am selling too, and I think maybe next year she can come back real strong, but that ankle injury.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of upside, but I just don't. I didn't see enough on field to really prove my point. She's a clubhouse gal through and through. Yeah. She's gonna bring morale.
Definitely,
she's
gonna be the heart and soul of a team. She's gonna bring the woo.
She's a lefty, which is definitely something that she should use to her advantage.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm gonna look forward to the next couple of weeks, see how her healing process. Maybe she just isn't trusting her ankle yet. It's a little bit of Ryan Howard-esque syndrome out there.
Yeah. Oh, that could definitely be it. All right, for me. The person who I'm interested in, after last week's performance, Jason Botanski.
Ah, old JB, buysomethingawesome.com.
Yeah.
Mention us at checkout.
Yeah, you'll get a free Jason Botanski sticker.
Limited edition.
Limited edition.
Very limited. So yeah, I'm buying. I'm buying all the way. I don't even have to really discuss it because I'm buying because everything I've seen from Jason is just an improving player, guy who wants to improve, guy that plays the game right.
Right. What I saw from him is a guy who saw the ball better than he's seen all year.
His eyes were open.
His eyes were definitely open, which is sometimes an issue. He was playing the best second base maybe I've seen all year from anyone, really. You know, he's really solid, caught everything coming his way. But unfortunately for me, I just don't see him able to continue.
You think he's reached a ceiling?
I don't know if he's reached a ceiling, but I think he was really with it last week, and, you know, if I'm basing him off of previous performances I've seen him, he's not always comfortable in the box, he's not always making solid contact. He didn't really get any balls.
What you're trying to say is get some beers in him and you think he's a liability.
Yeah, and, you know, I think at second base, he didn't really have to deal with any bad hops or offline throws.
He was making plays. He made plays. I can remember a very specific play where it was experience.
He looked good. He looked good.
Well behind his ears.
He even made like a nice like little stretch there at second base. I saw him, but at the same time, I don't think he had to deal with anything uncomfortable for him. Nothing that really put him in that.
Well, I'm buying, and I'm telling you why. This is my next little insight. Last week, hottest day of the year, definitely the most humid. He's wearing jeans. Comes equipped with shorts this week. Sky's the limit. It's going to improve dramatically.
If you're thinking about drafting him, do you call him and tell him to wear the shorts, or are you just hoping he comes in on his own fruition?
I'll have to get back to you with that. Okay. I don't know. Maybe look for it and touch him all next week.
Yeah. All right. And finally, what we're going to talk about is last week we began of taking pictures for baseball cards. Certainly something the stock is way up on.
Trading cards? I think we can all buy trading cards.
We can all buy trading cards. And, you know, we've been doing a little bit of work on it tonight, actually, and they're beginning to look pretty good. So one of the things that have been going up, props. Yes, yay or nay?
Nay, absolutely not. I'm an old-school baseball player through and through, and, you know, my heroes back in the day, right now, no smiling involved. You know, this is serious. This is an intimidation thing. This is something that, this is your legacy.
Okay, I mean, I see where you're coming from, and I think I would agree with you. I think I would, you know, want either baseball or
or a bat.
Those aren't props. Those are tools.
Fine. Those are tools. Agreed. But at the same time, I think other people, you know, at the core of this game, it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be, you know, a place where we can drink, have fun with a good, you know, all your friends. And, you know, you see that with people, you know, Emily Cahill took picture with her Haribo, gummy bears.
Gummies.
You know, I mean, you know, she, if that's what she's taking from it, go for it. You know, that's what you want from these pictures. You know, it's fun. You know, you're not everyone's batting, you know, 867 and, you know, hitting a bunch of RBIs. Some people are there for the social fun aspect. I think they should include that in there, too. You know,
all right, a little bit of personality, I can see that, but right. I just think that, you know, your personality should be oozing out in other ways.
Other ways, okay. Well, you know, we do include a fun fact in all of our cards.
Fun facts are definitely exciting.
So if you feel that your card will be too uptight if you just take a normal photo, know that there'll be some fun in there, so you shouldn't fret.
Luckily, we can definitely agree that we're buying on the trading cards. Absolutely. And if you haven't got yours taken yet, brush your teeth. Be prepared for next week.
Comb your dime hair. All right.
All right. Facebook event. The Facebook invite is out, so RSVP, and we'll see you guys on Thursday, weather right. permitting.
This is Matthew Bukovetsky.
This is Alex Klegger.
See you next week.
Hit them tatters.